Market action started out with some higher numbers from the overnight. Didn't last long once the day trade got into full swing. We're going to break it all down today. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. PJ Conrad joins us today. He's, of course, with TradeOS. And as we look at these markets, you and I were just chatting. It would have been nice if we could have kept that momentum going from the overnight coming off this holiday trade. But it sure didn't last long before we saw a lot of red on the screen.
No, we really started off the day strong, and then all of a sudden everything flipped all at one time. It seemed like kind of mid-morning there. You don't know, probably a multitude of things. Overnight trades will suddenly trade it. So the market's trying to figure out where we want to go, right? And right now it seems like funds have been buyers of beans, or big buyers of beans last week, moderate buyers of corn, and they're not holding massive long positions in either commodity, but they're at least been showing defensiveness to their position. So when you look at where we're at now, we're stuck in these, you know, channels. It really consolidated a lot. We got the big run up, or, you know, kind of back to where we were, and now everything's choppy. And if you look at, we'll start with corn, really made corn set in this 490 to 480 back and forth. It doesn't really want to break 480, but it doesn't really want to break, you know, 493 is a big technical number to get through. We can't seem to get the momentum to get there. These corn, you're in that 470 to 460 range. I mean, where do we break out? Is it going to be higher or lower? And you can make an argument either way, I think, on where we're going to go from here. And you look at beans. We'll do beans quick. No beans, you know, 1038 to 1024 has been our stopping point. We can't get above 1038. And then May beans at 1040 to 1025 levels just have been back and forth. I think when you break it down, you know, I guess I look at two different things, and you say we got some bullish factors out there of 95.5 million acres and tariff talk, and it doesn't seem like it has slowed, or it hasn't slowed the corn market down at all. So that's good news there.
You know, we kind of started to get into those thralls, though, too, of planting progress and weather concerns. And I'd read earlier today that it said these markets really need to start focusing on the weather. You agree or disagree with that?
They do. I mean, it's a little early. I'll say that just because the moisture is obviously in some spots too much. And that's a real concern, but it's not a concern today. That's a concern in 3 weeks if they maintain, right? So the moisture to me is probably why we saw a little pressure coming in the markets, to be honest. I mean, not that everywhere caught rain. You know, Nebraska is sitting in what? Corn area in drought, Nebraska 85% of it, South Dakota 76. Now, conversely, though, Iowa is only 33%, and Illinois is only 9%. And so you look at corn area in drought, well, when they speak of that, those terms, you know, this year we're at 30%, and last year we were at 23%. We're definitely a tick ahead, but Kansas was another big one that's in drought, and they got a lot of rain over the weekend. And really, we're slotted to get, you know, an inch plus of rain over the next 7 days. So how does the market react to that? It might slow planting progress a little bit in the short term, but most guys, I think, or at least in Nebraska, are going pretty hard at it right now in hopes of this rain, so we could use it. You look around, though, we get the rain and things dry out just a little bit, we could plant a lot of corn fast. Now, really, looking back, you know, 2019 is always a good example of a time that we had a lot of rain, and it really slowed planting progress. The market viewed it bearishly until about May 15th, and then it was a bullish story. So you probably have three-ish weeks before we really focus on too much moisture, which I think everyone would be maybe a little bit excited in most spots to get that. But, you know, the longer-term weather forecasts do lean drier and hotter. And so I guess the question is, when does that happen? And it's not like you're not 0% rain in June, you know, but maybe you're 25 to 45% below normal. And where do those storms hit? July, August, September are typically dry months anyways, but they're really talking, it'd be more dry than normal. We're a long ways from that, right? We're still, you know, 2.5 months roughly from July, so a lot can change. I'm not saying it will, but when you think about what you're going to do marketing-wise, flexibility, I think, is a big key, and knowing a level that makes sense where, you know, about 465 is what it is. It's profitable for some and not profitable for others. So you got to put yourself in that mindset of, do I want to lay off risk? We were recently, in the last, 2.5 weeks, at 440 decent one. And I'm not saying we're going back there. It doesn't maybe feel like we're going to have that big a pullback, but you can see this market soften as they both kind of hit technical strength and how much, what's the catalyst for us to either break out of these ranges to the up or break out to the down. So there's going to be a move coming. You know, nobody really knows which way to go with it. But what I would say is I would view the rains beneficial, even though some are getting too much. By and large, the moisture has been hard to come by over the last, since about, October time or November time frame. So it's very welcome. How the market reacts to it, that's a whole different story. I would say old crop-wise, our exports on corn are just amazing. And they really stood the test here through all the tariff stuff and everything else. And so you got to have that in your back of your mind that we're running pretty hard on corn. And so any potential weather issue can give us a lot more volatility. And that's what we're looking for, honestly, from a marketing aspect, is how do you protect yourself from the volatility of the down, but put yourself in a win-win that if it goes 30 cents higher, hey, we are here and we're going to pound on it. That's the level it makes sense.
What type of pressure do we see coming in because of the way the dollar continues to trade lower?
You know, it does. And so it's the weakest it's been since, what, March of 2022. Typically, that's good for commodities, right? Because we're more attractive on the world stage. And we'll see. Maybe it's a little bit of a tariff hedge, I guess, for lack of a better term. But by and large, it's usually good for us to increase our exports. I think, really, if you look at one commodity that could use it, it'd be the soybean world could use some bump in exports. Now, China really doesn't buy a lot from us, and they haven't the last few years. But who might step in? You know, there's rumblings that through this trade agreement with Japan, they're going to buy more soybeans. That's the stuff you don't know. And I think as we look at it, every year is volatile, but with the political climate and the things happening there, it really makes it more volatile, in my opinion. Pending weather situation that it seems like a lot of people align as going to be a hot, dry summer, but you know, season every summer, and I'm empathetic to those who go through these droughts, but every summer it is hot and dry somewhere. So it's how widespread is it, and what areas got rain and what areas need rain, et cetera.
All right.
So that's the big deal, and we'll see where this market decides to break out and go.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much. PJ Conrad joining us today, giving us a breakdown to what we see in this market action. I'm Susan Littlefield. This is the American Ag Network.